So, you know, we can look at things that are happening in the world, and you should. The Bible is opening up to us right now. When people start saying he's over here, the Bible says don't go. I will warn you. The Bible is full of warnings by Jesus. When they say he's over here, don't go. And this is what started happening. I believe that when people started saying, oh, there's an eclipse, the rapture is going to happen. I would really like to slap the person that started that. However, how many of you have seen some of the things, the memes, particularly if you're on Facebook or paying attention, to the memes by The Simpsons? The things that they have predicted, that they did 10, 15, 20 years ago, and they happened almost perfectly. I'm like, this, Lord, this has to be done after the fact. But they weren't. Did you see the last one I saw? It was about the rapture. I just sat there and looked at that. I was like, oh, Lord. I don't know who, whether it was Matt Groening, who you gave this story to or what, but this guy's Christian chauffeur was raptured. A woman's pious husband was raptured. The baby that was just baptized was raptured. And all the people that were left behind saying, why? A gay priest says, why am I gay? And didn't believe. It has nothing to do with today's message, but it was just something that I saw. People get ready. Jesus is coming. It's getting soon. I won't say it's tomorrow. Yes, we have a few plans for the summer. We have a few plans for the winter. But Jesus can come back. But not because I can't hold on. That's usually what we cry, isn't it? It's when things are getting tough and, oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Have you been boiled alive in oil? I wasn't, but John was. Were you put on a prison island to work? And the only way you got food was when people brought it to you? Meaning your friends? No. John was. He was getting a little tired, understandably. I mean, I've gotten up. I worked at the truck stop. I used to have to change oil on semis that came in. After driving for 14 hours, you can deep fry in that oil. And there's no way to get out of it quick enough. And I just, oh, it burns. I can't imagine my whole body. But the Apostle John did, and he lived. But we cry out, oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I got a bill due next week. You just don't know, Lord, the cost of gas, the cost of bread, the cost of this. Yeah, it's all gone up. Read the Bible. Revelation predicted it. It's there. You have to believe. You have to trust. If you're alive now for this time, God has a purpose for you. Don't blow that purpose out by being a whiny butt. I can't hold on any longer. Yeah, I bet you can. So, speaking of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Now, this is to the church of Philadelphia. The name itself means brotherly love. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. There are some important things right here Jesus told that church of Philadelphia. These are things we can take and understand because it's true. It is truth that we can stand on. Just as in Jeremiah, when he said, "For I know the thoughts and plans I have for you. I know you've been young and all this." Well, he was actually speaking at to one man. But yet the reality is God knows the plans he has for me. He knows the plans he has for you. He knows them. He wants to give you a future and a hope. He didn't bring us out here to leave us as orphans. So God has a plan and he gives us the insight into his will. And here's one of them. He says, these things says he who is true, holy, and who has the key of David. I learned that there's a cult based around the key of David. Yeah, they're nut jobs. But anyhow, the key of David is nothing more than the authority of a king. If you're the king and you have the master key, you got all the authority. Joseph had all the authority in the land of Egypt. He was the overseer of the food stocks. So we need to understand that our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, he has all authority. If I have the only key to my workshop, my barn, it has one way in. That's it. One way. There are 2, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 doors on it, but there's only one way in. Because you have to go inside to unlock the other doors. And I have the key to the locks on that door. You don't get in that door if I don't want you to. So sure, you can bust out the glass. But you only get in there if I let you in. See, that's what Jesus was saying. I have the key. I can open doors that no man can open. And I can shut doors that no man can shut. We use that a lot, don't we? Oh Lord, please open the doors that you want for us and close the doors. How many times have you asked God, why isn't the door opening, Lord? Everywhere I turn, they're all shut. Right? It seems like I'm surrounded by closed doors. Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and..." What? There might be something to it. Now, he's talking about your heart. But he said, "I stand at the door and I knock." Imagine that. Knocking on a door. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? I'm here to tell you, faith is a lot simpler than what we've turned it into. We've turned it into such a hokey thing sometimes that you got to run around in 3 circles, spit on the ground 4 times, and then run over here. The reality is, Jesus said, just trust me. But we want to trust, but when we look and we see, there's nothing opening for me. When we found this building, we were looking. We had tried to buy the building that the Assemblies of God is in right now. We could have bought it before they turned it into a house. We'd had all the stuff in there. No parking. But we'd have had it for less than half of what we paid for this one. Everywhere we turned, the doors were closed. The library didn't want us in there. Nobody wanted us around. And God said, keep knocking. Jesus said, I knock. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now, there's a sequence here. You're looking for a new job. All right. Seek God's counsel on it. Seek him first. Right? The Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his way of doing things right, and he'll add all this to you. He knows you need a new job if he's given you the desire for it. Seeking. Seek his will. And you will find. But you've got to ask. We don't ask God, do we? How many times do you tell God what you want? There's a huge difference. I'll use Phil. Phil, I want that shirt. Phil, can I have your shirt? Yes. Huge difference, but we tell God what we want. When did we become jerks? Faith is not about being a jerk. And who are we to tell the creator of the universe, the one who orchestrated the perfect timing for the moon to block out the sun so that you could still see the solar flare? Did anybody else see that? That's pretty cool. I'm like, what is that? I was like, ooh, cool. And then there goes the moon. The perfect timing. And we're telling that creator that we want something. Nowhere have I seen him say, tell God what you want. It says to ask him. The only time I've seen in the Bible where somebody told a superior authority in their life what they wanted was the prodigal son. Father, give me my half of the inheritance. That's how he put it. He didn't say, Dave, can I have my share? You know, I really don't want to farm. That's what he was saying to his dad. I really don't want to farm. But yet he ends up with the pigs. Something a whole lot worse than sheep. Didn't work out for him, did it? It's because Jesus said to ask. When you ask, you get God's ear. When you tell, you kind of get gaffed off. You get the hand, right? Talk to the hand. But you knock. Why do you knock? Because it's not your door. If you come into my house and you didn't ring the doorbell or knock, there's two things you're going to meet. A black 130-pound dog and Jesus. Because it's not your house. You following? You got to knock on the door. The reason you ask God and then you seek his wisdom so he can narrow it down for you. You need a new car. Lord, I need a new car. Not only do I want one, I really need one. Ask him and he will lead you to it. There's millions of cars. But if you ask God to lead you, he will take you to the one that will fulfill his plan in your life. And so, you've got to look in the paper. You've got to look online. You got to drive by a few car lots. I don't like talking to salesmen. They got to eat too. Half the time, people don't like talking to you, so it balances out. But it's only going to be opened if you knock. And if nobody opens the door, nobody's home. That doesn't mean you break the door down. I've told you before, and I've said this years ago when I first heard it. If the door's not open or God shuts the door on you, look in a window. Look in a window. Because I told this to a person who got real religious on me. I'm not a thief. I'm not going through a window. Then why did you even go there? Windows are always for looking. Watch what took place. Oh, Lord, if you'd have just gave me the girl that I thought I had to have, I would have been so happy, right? Or the guy. I know there was a girl, or a guy that my sister was just head over heels for in elementary school. Oh, she just swore up and down she was going to marry him. And about 15 or 20 years ago, I saw his name in the paper. He'd been arrested on spouse abuse. Trust me, I've already had one in that situation. It did not make me happy. I planned on how I was going to kill him. I didn't need two. It had been about the same time. And I didn't kill him, just getting this out here on public. He is, however, in prison for attempted murder. So, when you ask God for something, don't keep pushing on the door. You break it down, you get the dog that's on the other side. Or the angry homeowner. That door, you knock, it doesn't open, don't go through. He said, I open the doors. I open it. I've got the authority. I can open the door that no man can open, and I can shut the door no man can shut. I saw this awesome thing the other day. I, again, love history, and I saw this picture of a woman standing in front of these bronze doors. Full-grown woman, and these doors are like 22, 23 feet tall. They're on the Parthenon. They weigh 8.5 tons each. They're huge. To give you an idea, this is a 13-foot some odd inch ceiling. And I said they were about 23 feet. They're bigger than the doors up the Henry Ford Museum, which they can bring trains into. And they said, here's the thing. These doors are so perfectly balanced, one person can open them. They just open. They're so balanced. Today, we got such great technology. We have to have hydraulic cylinders to move doors like that. Or electric motors. Back then, they didn't have that as an option. They did their stuff well. And this is kind of the reference points. Jesus said, ain't no man opening that door. And as a matter of fact, to this day, those doors, about 127 AD is when they were built. They are the locks that lock that door are the oldest locks on the planet that still work. They're 2,000 years old, and they still work. No man's going to open those doors. God says, I shut the doors. You're not opening them. And if I open a door, ain't nobody going to shut it on you. I will give you the opportunities. But you've got to ask him first. Seek his will for you. And don't listen to all the people that tell you what to do with your life. I know that sounded kind of contradictory. Well, Pastor, isn't that what you're trying to do? I'm telling you what the word says about our lives. You can go do what you want with your life. I can't change it. But I can tell you that if you ask God and you seek, you need a new car, start seeking after you've asked him. You want to move, ask him. And when he opens a door, then you know it's there. See, the devil tried to shut the door on us. God had other plans. He kept the door open. The government shutting down could not stop it. Hallelujah. I mean, understand that. Things weren't working right, and you know there were certain offices of the government that were closed, so we didn't have it. But God said, that's your house. Don't worry about it. That's why we went out every morning and sat on there and thanked the Lord for it. We sat on that porch and we thanked God. See, when you try to force things, they don't work right. I don't know why I ever bought this car. This thing's the biggest piece of junk. You bought it. Shut up. You wouldn't listen to God. In the last 2 months, I've seen two trucks just like mine, same price. Except they had a few more bells and whistles, things I actually want on my truck. And I was like, oh, Lord, it's already leveled, got black rims, trailer brakes already installed, remote start. I do miss that. I miss warm seats, too, because my truck sits in the cold. And God has shut the door. I see it. The devil puts it there as a temptation. I'm like, whoo. And the last one I looked at was gray like mine, silver. I was like, oh, yes, Lord, yes. And by the way, its original package price was $70,000. I was not paying that. It was a whole lot less. And I was like, ooh, Lord, how can I do this? I can do this. I can do this. No, I couldn't. No, I couldn't. Why? Because it's not my truck. And it's a trap. Because I didn't seek God. See, I have a lifetime warranty on my motor and transmission. And if you know anything about Chevy trucks in this era, the transmissions have an issue. They go out. I was like, ooh, I'll lose my warranty. I got a good truck. And I thank the Lord for it. Nope. Because it's a trap. Because then, well, this broke. That broke. Oh, transmission went out. There's $4,000. Whatever it is you're seeking, if you're one who is seeking a spouse, do not go to a bar. Oh, but I met my, yeah, you're saved now. Thank the Lord. But most of the time, the guys that are in bars, they're not looking for wholesome women. They don't care. And the women in the bars half the time are not wholesome. Let's just put it that way. So you just got a big old cluster. Ask God. Where'd you meet Harold?
Here, in the church.
Imagine that. So I'm sitting around here looking and thinking, I've married you, 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 you. I married most of you in here. Which was really hard for my kids to understand when I said, I'm going to go marry Michelle. How can you marry Michelle? No, marry Matt and Michelle together. I'm doing the sermon. Yeah, Justin had a hard time with that. He got over and understood it. Oh, okay, Dad. If you hadn't sold your trailer, moved out of the park, moved into a tiny little house. I mean, it was tiny. Tiny. But it made you get out and walk. And went by really cool craftsman-styled house in which there was a bachelor sitting on the porch. See, she was seeking something. God made the opportunity, but led her to a greater, his greater good for her. You never know what or why. She just wanted out of the trailer park. And it was a tiny trailer too. I mean, I used to live in one like that back in the day, and there was three of us kids. It was like, you don't move down the hallway, one of those. But God had greater plans. It wasn't just getting her out of the trailer park. He gave her own house. He taught her to trust him. Oh, yeah, and she sowed seed into the men's ministry so we could go up north and men could get ministered to. It's one of the things. See, but you've got to trust God. You've got to ask him. Then you've got to seek. She just wanted a new house. Pretty little place. I'm going to walk around the town. And, you know, we knew your heart was you wanted a godly man. Here he sits. He was on a porch. Oh, that gal's going to be walking. I need to get on a porch. Ultimately, God knows the plans he has for your life. You have got to trust him. But you've also got to ask, seek, and knock on the door. And when the door opens, you got to go through it. And if the door doesn't open, quit trying to push it down. I'm telling you, not every dog on the other side is a mini. Sometimes they're Rottweilers and Dobermans. And mine, you roll the dice. He's half pit, he's half lab. He might just beat you to death with that tail. It hurts. Or he will put the fear of God in you, like he has done quite a few delivery people. And people he didn't like for some reason. In this day and age we're in, ask God everything. God, do I buy that TV? That should be a no-brainer, right? We're just going to go Best Buy. We're going to Walmart and buy a new TV. Lord, should I buy that TV? It's a good deal. Good deal don't mean the God thing. Sometimes there's a reason why it's a good deal. Lord, do I buy that car? You know, I really like that car. Oh, that car was only driven on Sundays to church by a little old lady. How many remember the Andy Griffith episode? Barney bites the Edsel. Transmission starts going out. They find sawdust in it. Well, now we know why it was a good deal. But you will trust God. And when he opens the doors, and I'm telling you, he knows what he's got in store for you. Are you going to stand and trust him, or are you going to buckle and whine? Oh, Lord, why did you bring me here? Weren't there enough graves in Egypt? That's what we do. Things didn't go the way we thought. Did you learn what you were going to get through? Sometimes it's a little scary, isn't it, Monica? Yeah, I'm going to call you some of you out on name on stuff. We're family. You got to trust God. When they said get the shot or quit, God opened the door. We live in a day and age in which people will try to force fear upon you. Don't fear. Jesus said, I've already overcome the world. Trust me. Just trust me. Kind of hard when you're the kid and daddy says, just trust me, I'll catch you, right? And then he rears down and throws you in the air and mama loses her stuff. Ah, what are you doing to my baby? But you're just screaming and hollering and having a good old time. And dad catches you. First time you're like, no, daddy, no, I'm scared. After that, more, daddy, more. Again. And then they come to grandpa and they say, grandpa, you do that. Are you nuts? Can't even throw my keys without getting hurt. It's sad but true. Trust God. Trust God with Israel. God knew they were going to launch. Think about those odds. Even the United States doesn't have those kind of odds. Yeah, we got a lot of those missiles, those Scud missiles. We didn't get them all. And a couple of them hit pretty significant targets. Trust God. We're in an election year. Trust God. Gas went up. Trust God. But Pastor, the food went up. Yeah, I know. I had to go buy dog food. I went and bought a bag of dog food, a thing of lunch meat, paper towels, a thing of bananas, and a shareable size of M&Ms that I did not share. $50. And that was all Aldi prices. Thank you, Lord. My dog thanks you. My belly thanks you for these M&Ms. Thank God we have food next door. Trust God. Honor God. Trust God. He's got your back. He'll take care of you. If I don't ever accomplish anything in your life but to get you to trust God, that'll have been enough. Because I don't want Jesus getting up there and saying, Harold, why didn't you trust me? I know you've been to hell and back, Harold. Harold just says, you know what? I just want to hear well done. I just want to hear well done. All right, let's stand. All right, so we have fellowship, as you well know. I'm going to bless the food. Those that are in charge of setting up or whatever, if you're in here, you're free to go to start getting things around. But I'm going to bless the food here. You know, supper time, the rest of verse 20 in Revelation 3, Jesus said, I will come in and I will have dinner with you. When you eat, it restores the fuel that you're going to need. It's also a time of fellowship. But you get to know somebody. Take that time. Listen to people. Talk. Enjoy. That's what fellowships are about. They're not just so we can all bring food together. We were talking about this last night at the FFA banquet. We don't call it a potluck for one reason. Sometimes there's good luck, and there's bad luck. I don't want to be on the receiving end of bad luck. Not in a potluck. But enjoy the fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you have given Jesus the key of David, that he has all authority. He can open those doors. He can close those doors. Father, we just need to ask you. We need to seek you, and then we need to knock on that door. Father, whether it's putting in applications, whether it's seeking the realtor's advice, whether it's going to a car lot, Lord, those are just some of the many things that we need to seek you on. Father, I thank you that you're moving now, that your Holy Spirit is moving in all of us to trust you. Father, that you're giving us the strength and the courage to trust, to knock on that door. And Father, and to receive, even though your word says, ask and you will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened. The right door will be opened. You will lead us to the right things. And if we're in the wrong things, Lord, help us. Now, Father, we thank you for the fellowship we're about to have. Lord, I bless the food. I thank you for providing it. I thank you for the hands that have prepared it, Lord God. Bless the rest of the body as well. And, Father, we thank you for our brothers and sisters here today. Lord, I ask that that even as the Church of Philadelphia was known as brotherly love, then, Father, May brotherly love continue here as well. Now, Father, I bless your people today. I ask that you go before them, Lord. You order their steps. Father, you make straight their paths. Father, you do open those doors, and you do close those doors. I ask, Lord, that you move now in Jesus' name. Amen.